Area Voices tells the arts, culture, and history stories of northern Minnesota. And whether a first Friday walkabout, an arts fair, a visit to a gallery or a theater or a music event, or just listening to a poet read at a coffee shop, arts activities make a significant contribution to the fiscal, cultural, and social economies of our communities. Creative Minnesota is an organization on a mission to provide real data about the impact the arts sector has on towns and cities in Minnesota. They've been tracking the impact of arts for several years. Sheila Smith is the executive director of Minnesota Citizens for the Arts and chair of the Creative Minnesota Project. She's going to break it down for us and tell us about the latest findings. Good morning, Sheila.
Good morning.
We'll get into the specifics in a second, but how did you find that the arts add to Minnesota's economy?
Well, we looked at it a few different ways. So we start with looking at the nonprofit arts and culture organizations in Minnesota and seeing what they're spending in their communities. Typically, you know, they're nonprofits, and as nonprofits, they're sort of in theory owned by the communities where they are. Mm-hmm. And their entire budgets are spent locally in town. So you can add up what the arts organizations are spending right there in town on printing costs and the electric bill and everything. Arts organizations are the first thing we look at. Then we look at the spending of their audiences and what is bringing people to town to spend money in town that they wouldn't have spent otherwise. Third, we look at artists and creative workers and what they're spending to create their art and sell their art in the area. And then fourth, in a new look, we've looked at the availability of arts education in Minnesota schools. So we have kind of four different big areas this year as part of the study. The good news is that on a statewide basis, the economic impact of the arts is growing. The number of artists and creative workers who are making a living, paying their mortgage, feeding their kids as artists is also growing. And the audiences are growing by quite a bit. It's very interesting to see the growth of the arts economy in Minnesota over the last 10 years. The first time we did a look at the arts economy was way back in 2006. So we have kind of a long-term view now of how the sector has been growing really, I guess the word I want to say is spectacularly over the last 10, 15 years. It's kind of amazing. We're at the point now where our arts economy is double the size of the arts economy of Wisconsin, even though Minnesota and Wisconsin have roughly the same number of people, 5.5 million people. But our arts economy is growing more and more and becoming more important as part of our overall economy and jobs across the state.
Yeah. Could you talk a little bit about the economic impact of the arts, specifically in rural Minnesota, since our radio station really serves a rural area?
Sure. We did studies, 11 regional studies across the state, and we've been doing that also since 2006. So you can get a long view for your region. Just looking at Region 2, which is Beltrami, Hubbard, Clearwater, Lake of the Woods, and Manoman counties, the economic impact now we find from the art sector is just short of $14 million a year. And since 2 years ago, it's grown by $3 million in the last 2 years. And a lot of that is driven by a big increase in attendance. Nearly 80,000 more attendees at arts and culture events are spending money in the community to be a part of arts and arts activities and leaving money behind in local stores. So that's really great.
Did you say that's just in Region 2?
Yeah.
Whoa. Okay, so Beltrami, Clearwater, Hubbard, Lake of the Woods, and Manoman counties, $14 million from the arts sector. That's incredible.
So, yeah, and actually the region is kind of outperforming other regions. So although it's fourth in economic, although it's 11th in population size amongst the 11 regions, so really it's the smallest population of the 11 regions, it's fourth in economic impact per capita. So economic impact per capita is how much money are the arts bringing into the community per resident. Kind of gives us a rough way to look across the state and see how the different regions are performing. And Region 2 is really outperforming.
Wow. What do you attribute this? It seems like the growth in the arts sector it just keeps growing sustainably.
It does.
What do you
attribute
to that?
Well, I think there's multiple factors. First of all, you know, Minnesota is unique in the country in having the Legacy Amendment, which was passed back in 2008. It's the 10-year anniversary of the amendment, and part of the research was to look back 10 years ago and see how over time the arts sector has grown. And I think that's a big factor in Minnesota, that the nonprofit arts and culture organizations are growing in their sophistication and their ability to provide services to the community and are more and more popular with the community. Research has shown that Minnesotans attend the arts more than other Americans. Minnesotans are more interested in being a part of arts activities. And in fact, Minnesotans themselves are more often likely to be an artist than people in other states, which is really interesting. So I say the Legacy Amendment has a big piece of that. Another piece is that the research itself is getting better at finding little nonprofits and including them in the research. So whereas before the Legacy Amendment passed, I think we had a list of some 800 organizations that we were looking at. Now we are looking at 1,900 different nonprofit arts and culture organizations, but also we are including arts and activities, you know, done by cities and chambers of commerce. You know, if they're throwing a big art fair in town, of course, that should be counted. It's a nonprofit running it, and it's bringing a lot of people to town for arts and culture activities. So that's a little bit been expanded. But I think really it's the Legacy Amendment built on the fact that Minnesotans are just way more engaged with the arts than people in other states. It's something unique about our civic culture and kind of who we are as Minnesotans, in the same way that we are more likely to be outdoorsy than people in other states, and we really value our outdoor activities, summer and winter. We like to be outside. The same thing is this, what I've seen of public opinion polling is it's the same people who like to be outside and doing things who like to engage in arts activities with their families. It's basically the difference. People think that there's this competition between outdoor things and arts and culture things. That's not the case at all. It's actually between people who like to get out of their house and do stuff and people who like to stay at home and watch TV.
Yeah.
That's the difference.
Wow. How do you see, we apparently are, we're attending more arts events than many other states. How do you think this increase in exposure to arts, this is kind of a big question, affects our culture as a whole?
Well, I think it's really, really good for our civic culture. You know, as you look across the country these days, there is so much strife and divisiveness and people picking fights and trying to find difference. And, you know, this, it's just a really negative public culture right now, which I have a really hard time with that. And when you participate in arts and culture events, say you're part of a choir, it doesn't matter what people's politics are. You're all singing together and you're pulling together. I've seen research that shows when people sing together, their heart rate and emotions go into sync. It's probably one of the reasons that people in cultures all across the world have singing as part of their public celebrations. The arts bring people together in a really unique way, in a really positive way. And I think that's good for all of us.
Yeah. I'm talking with Sheila Smith right now. She's the executive director of Minnesota Citizens for the Arts, and she's talking with us about the results of a comprehensive study focusing on the impacts the arts have in the state of Minnesota. Sheila's section, I was reading through this the report, and section 4 is dedicated to the impact and importance of access to arts education. And according to the report, youth arts education has been shown to build key skills needed for success in the workforce and is connected to improving educational outcomes, health, and well-being for students. What are kids experiencing in arts education that helps them be successful in the workforce?
Well, it's the skills that the arts bring are a different kind of intelligence. You know, there's been research about how people learn differently depending upon their makeup. Some people like to learn by moving. Some people, you know, really love math. Other people learn more through expressive activities like the arts. So the reason that the arts are mandatory in Minnesota schools is, and in fact, just as a side, both state and federal law require schools to provide arts education to their students because it's so important for student development. It helps with critical thinking and problem solving. I've been interested to see that Nobel Prize winners in science, for example, are almost three times more likely than average sciences to scientists to be actors, singers, or dancers on the side, and that the more accomplished a scientist is, the more likely they are to have an artistic hobby. I think it helps people break out of, you know, sort of mental silos of just being good at math or just being good at reading. The arts bridge multiple disciplines and help people build a more complex view of the world that helps innovation and creativity. And it's one of the things that businesses are hungry for, are workers who not only are really good at the job and show up and work hard, but are creative and able to solve problems on their own and to help the business solve problems. Creativity is one of those fundamental things you need to be successful in the workplace.
Yeah.
And the arts help kids develop those skills.
Right, whether you're at a bank or an architect's office.
Right.
So speaking of creative workers, there was something in this particular data collection piece that I hadn't noticed in the ones in the past, and that was revolved around creative workers, jobs that have art as an important element of their work. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Mm-hmm. Sure. We use federal data that classifies workers into different occupations. The 40 occupations that are included in the study include things that you would typically think of as an artist or creative worker, like an architect, musicians and singers, painters, photographers, that kind of thing, but then also a wider selection of jobs like choreographers, music directors, fashion, floral, graphic, and interior designers. Mm. In fact, graphic designers are one of the most common creative worker jobs in Minnesota. The most common creative worker job is photographer by far, and in fact, we grew by 1,600 photography jobs just in the last 2 years, which is pretty interesting. Second is musicians and singers. Third is writers and authors. And fourth is graphic designers.
Wow. That is Sheila Smith. Is there anything that you wished I would have asked you?
Well, there's a lot of information available. We have done multiple studies of the Northland. And just so FYI, we've done local studies for Virginia, Grand Rapids, Duluth, Cook County, the Iron Range, and then we have these regional studies which cover, I think your listening area covers at least three of those, North Central Minnesota, the Brainerd Lakes area, and the Arrowhead. So if you're interested in more information about the research, you can just pop over to creativemn.org. That's creativemn.org. Everything is free for download. It's a collaboration. I should give a shout out to our funders. This project is a collaboration of the McKnight Foundation, Jerome Foundation, Bush Foundation, Target, Minnesota State Arts Board, and Regional Arts Councils, and many other organizations who are working together on a statewide collaboration to make sure that hard data is available for research, education, and advocacy. So if you're interested, that's the place to go, creativemn.org.
Thank you, Sheila. And yeah, thanks for all the work you're doing for Minnesota Citizens for the Arts and Creative Minnesota.
Well, thanks. Nice talking to you.
That's Sheila Smith, Executive Director of Minnesota Citizens for the Arts. Again, you can download or just read that comprehensive research report about the impact of arts in Minnesota by visiting creativemn.org. And you can take a look specifically around the state at your region to see how arts are impacting your community. Area Voices is made possible by the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and by the people of Minnesota.